the Chai FM Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Time is 8:47. A very, very good morning to David Harris from the Clarion Project. David, how are you? Shavua Tov.
All good. I'm wishing you and all of your listeners a wonderful week.
Thank you. So Trump's foreign policy, it's a little confusing because there isn't a person in the world who doesn't get on with Canada, yet somehow he's managed that. On the other hand, he seems to be taming North Korea, certainly from our perspective or from our own perspective. I think he's doing an incredible amount of positive work with regard to Iran. How do we read Trump and his American policy, foreign policy?
So first of all, on the whole G7 Justin Trudeau thing, there is a rumor going around and not being peddled particularly by the right, but that there was some sort of tacit understanding in the G7 talks that he was going to trump around a little bit in the room and walk out early and say, this is, and then sort of the message gets out to the North Koreans, this is how I deal with my friends, don't cross me if you're one of my enemies. Now, I suspect that's a little bit far-fetched, but stranger things have happened. Just in terms of the relationship with Canada, listen, Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump are not exactly reading from the same song sheet, are they? So it's hardly surprising that they have a very difficult relationship. There are a lot of people on the right in Canada who are very, very unhappy with Justin Trudeau, just the same way there are a lot of people on the left in the United States who are incredibly disgruntled at their current leader.
Justin Trudeau hasn't exactly had a phenomenal reputation. His trip to India he became a laughing stock of the world. Many of his comments seem to be childlike and naive. So I would doubt that the support is coming because of him. It seems to be rather that Angela Merkel and Macron seem slightly dissatisfied with his approach.
Yeah, I think the relationship with Europe is far more significant. Mm. But forgive me if you're listening to this in Canada. I know there's a lot of South African expats in Canada. Mm. But in terms of the impact on the world economy, in terms of impact on diplomatic affairs, the relationship between America and the European Union is far more significant. And when you hear noises coming from Angela Merkel and others, Macron and so on, that is cause for concern. That having been said, you know, the area that I cover is the fight against terrorism. And from that perspective, it would appear that Trump is doing rather well. And I've shocked numerous people. I happen not to be a Trump supporter, but I've shocked numerous people by turning around and saying it is possible that the legacy of Donald Trump will be that in terms of foreign policy, he will achieve more in terms of the fight against terror and so on, he would achieve more than any of his predecessors in the last 100 years and could go down as being an incredibly successful president in terms of foreign policy.
And that's obviously because of his treatment of Iran, but yet the rest of the world, Europe, for example, still not comfortable about the way he's handling Iran.
It's not just Iran. Think about what's going on behind the scenes between the Israelis and the Saudis and the other Gulf countries. He is part and parcel of what's happening there. There is a reason that the Middle East didn't burn down in the wake of the Jerusalem, move of the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. It's because the American administration paved the way to that with the leaders of the Arab and Muslim world. In the old days, you would have had tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Indonesians, of Malaysians, of Pakistanis out on the streets in pitched battles with their own riot police, objecting to any perceived move by Israel that's an attack on the Temple Mount, on Haram al-Sharif. That did not happen at this time. I was amazed. I was waiting for it. I was predicting it. I think I probably came on him and spoke about it, and it didn't happen. The only exception is Gaza. So I think, again, it's not just Iran. There are other places where he has acted swiftly and effectively.
And certainly we're seeing it with North Korea. Do you think there'll be an acceptance that he's moving in the right direction? You know, what bothered me, and I was following the South African press at the time, when tensions started escalating between North Korea and the United States, and Donald Trump had a series of Twitter diplomacy, or whatever we want to call it, where he was insulting the guy, calling him Rocket Man, saying his button was bigger than North Korea's red button. There was a lot of anger, certainly in the South African press, and discomfort, and people saying he's warmongering Donald Trump. And I found it fascinating because here was a guy, the leader of the North Korea peninsula, and he was, he's very, very clearly a very, very significant dictator and a dangerous guy, and the media was blaming Donald Trump. What ultimately happened was Trump tamed him because he saw that he's probably as mad as he is, whatever the reason is. But you're still not seeing the recognition. There's almost this grudging acceptance that, well, yes, Donald Trump is going to make peace with Korea, with North Korea. And I can see that the narrative is going to be, yes, he can sort out enemies, but he can't get on with their friends. That's going to be the narrative. I can see where this is going. Why is the world and why is media so intent on discrediting Trump when he does something genuinely positive?
Look, the guy on a personal basis, as far as you and I are concerned, I've never met him. I assume I certainly when he serves as president, I won't. My relationship with Donald Trump is a negative one. Mm. The guy's aggressive. The guy isn't polite. You wouldn't want to invite him to your Shabbat table. Mm. You know, he rubs people up the wrong way. By the way, in terms of Twitter diplomacy, I don't believe in that stuff for a minute. I think that is anybody who says, oh, that's how he deals with, you know, foreigners, that's naive. Sure, he's doing that type of message for his own voters at home. The diplomacy goes on at the State Department level, desk officers, and all that work going on, you know, behind the scenes. And I absolutely believe that the best way, the best approach.
Right, we seem to have lost David. I do want to get him back because it's obviously a very, very important conversation to have. We're going to try and get him back on the line. I do want to hear his thoughts. David was talking about whether Trump is successful with regard to his foreign policy or not. I've been focusing on North Korea and the G7. David is saying you've got to look at so much more. You've also got to look at the relationship between Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern countries, because that has assured or ensured that the Middle East has not gone up in flames. David is also saying that Twitter diplomacy is really about his local constituents and Americans rather than it is about doing any particular gaining anything with regard to another foreign power. I would love your thoughts on this on 34519 or 061-895-1019. That's how you get hold of me. That's how you give me your thoughts. We are trying to get David back, and we have, in fact, done so. David, apologies for that.
That's okay. Technology.
That's what happens. Right. So you were saying firstly that it isn't about Twitter diplomacy, but in fact all the work that goes on behind the scenes. That's more or less where we lost you.
Right. And the other thing I was going to say is that I think if you are America, if you're the leader of the free world and all those other corny lines, you need to adopt the carrot and stick approach. Mm. You cannot just be lovey-dovey. And I think in part that could be why such an abrasive character as Donald Trump has problems with his friends, because that's just not how he operates. He is a carrot and stick man. And so it's probably a lot easier for Donald Trump to deal with a declared enemy than it is to deal with a declared friend. You can't see Donald Trump, you know, wearing flowers and singing Kumbaya. That's just not who the man is. And so in many ways, the challenge of North Korea is one that is more attainable for him, achievable for him than something on the domestic front.
And what is your thoughts in terms of him being able to achieve that? What do you think is going to happen in Singapore over the next few days?
who knows? It might not all be fixed overnight. We could see shuttle diplomacy over a period of months. There could be ups and downs. We might see threats of more nuclear tests coming out of North Korea. But I think the bottom line is the situation in North Korea is such that the country is an international pariah. The people are starving. There's forced labor. And the stories that we get from people who escape North Korea are just absolutely horrific. And I think anybody in the 21st century who sees the success of Western nations, forget all the problems, but the broad success, the broad advances being made, the advances being made by what were once called third world countries that we now call developing countries. North Korea has an opportunity now to get onto that ladder, even at the bottom rung. And it really is an opportunity they should take. And I believe that it's serendipitous for Donald Trump that he's come along at the right time. And I think that whether it doesn't happen tomorrow, and it might happen in 3-4 years' time, we will see a move towards the denuclearization and the improvements in the North Korean economy.
What do you think in terms of Iran, when we're definitely seeing a pushback from Europe with regard to Trump's policy, which is to scrap the deal, start again if there's ever going to be anyone, or just institute severe sanctions?
So as we're reporting on the Clarion Project website this morning, at the end of the day, the choice is, if you're a company, are you going to do business with the United States or are you going to do business with Iran? Clearly, the answer is you're going to do business with the United States. And if you look at the list of companies who are backing out of Iran now, they're substantial players. Total, the French oil company, Lukoil out of Russia, one of the largest Indian oil companies, have all announced that they are divesting from Iran. So it's working. The only thing there that we've got to be really careful about with the sanctions is that we don't damage the people of Iran. You know, it's the regime that needs to be punished. The people are not part of this. And as we see, there yet again are our opposition forces in Iran, some of them on the right, some of them on the left, who are fighting against the regime. You know, there are strikes going on right now in cities throughout throughout Iran.
And there we have
very carefully.
Right, David, there we do leave it. It is about to go 9 o'clock. Thank you, as always, David Harris from the Clarion Project, giving us an incredible amount of thought-provoking insight into the America's foreign policy with regard to the carrot and stick approach, as he calls it.